here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello there.
Today is Friday, September 23rd, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories.
I will note that we won't be talking about Brangelina.
Yeah, well, that's the true. Yeah, that's the biggest.
That's we're the true not. Biggest
a, this
story?
Isn't a pop culture podcast, unfortunately.
I know.
Because if it was, I think we could do probably a whole, definitely Second. A whole half hour, probably more like an hour on it.
But anyways,
long story short, love isn't real.
It is devastating.
Yes. So it has been. It wasn't just a big week for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. It's also been a big week for Congress as it matches up against corporate America in a, just a great head-to-head in that we saw
yes,
Wells Fargo
versus.
And Mylan. So we'll talk about both of those stories in kind of our feature of the story of the week. But first, I want to check in on two companies that we heard about in our exclusive interview with Kathleen Smith from Renaissance Capital. And she predicted that she predicted several companies would be heading for an IPO soon. And lo and behold, two of them debuted this week. So yeah. Maddie, why don't you fill us in on that?
So the first company, it's called The Trade Desk, and they are a digital advertising platform. So they debuted on the market on Wednesday, and right off the bat, their stock, which is the ticker TTD, it went up like 67% that day. Mm. And it priced at the higher range at $18 a share, which was in the higher range of their already revised price range from $16 to $18 per share, which they announced on Monday. So it was a big day. It was a big week for the company, mm-hmm. a big day on Wednesday for them. And then on Thursday, Elf Beauty Inc., which is a low-priced cosmetics maker, which you can find their products at Walgreens, at CVS, at even Old Navy, randomly. You've been to an Old Navy, right?
Of course. Yes.
So their checkout
I love
line,
Old Navy. Yeah,
so their checkout aisle is like filled with like random like samples
sure.
of different products.
Okay.
And I guess Elf Beauty is featured in that aisle.
That is something I don't think I'm looking for cosmetics. While
well,
I'm
I mean, you never
maybe,
know.
I understand what you're
there.
Saying. Yeah. Other people are, I'm
yes.
sure. So.
Yeah, so Elf Beauty, you can get like a lipstick for as little as $3, which is very cheap in the world of cosmetics.
Okay.
I can personally attest to that. But so they debuted on Thursday at $24 a share, and their stock, which is under the ticker ELF, it also soared 41% right off the bat. And the company raised $141 million on Wednesday, where they priced 8.3 million shares at $17 a share, which is above its indicated range of $14 to $16 a share. So
interesting.
Interesting,
yeah.
Yes. They both did very well.
Yeah, notably solid performance and you know, heading before they even debuted, having to be priced higher than previously announced ranges, and then still performing very well after that.
Yeah. And if
taking what we learned from Kathleen Smith of Renaissance Capital, solid performance on these IPOs that we are seeing could indicate that the IPO market is finally starting to warm up. So,
yeah, and it seems like this week has been one of the most successful weeks of the year in terms of IPOs.
Sure.
Which is great. So in another
update, you heard it here first, though. Also, I just wanted to say that on that. You heard it here first on the Friday Finish Line.
That is
these
true.
Two companies were going public by the end of the year, and just weeks later, here we are. So
yeah. So Ryan, so it was like kind of a big week for Netflix, which is one of my favorite streaming video.
One of my favorites,
options,
too.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it on the show many times. So, yeah, Netflix, it was the big week for them. I don't know whether to say it was an announcement because it wasn't really a public company announcement. It wasn't a press release type of situation. But
right.
speaking at the Goldman Sachs Communicopia Investors Conference
great name.
Day.
I will say, great name.
I'm just going to assume my invite for that got lost in the mail, but you know, maybe we'll see you next year, Goldman Sachs. Anyway, Netflix's CFO, David Wells, announced that the company plans on making half of its original half of its total content original programming over the next few years. So I guess
Pretty cool news.
Yeah.
I love Netflix shows.
I mean, yeah. So we've got Stranger Things has been all the rage all summer. Emmy award winning shows like House of Cards,
Orange is the New Black.
There's a Narcos. I mean, there's just at this point, there's tons of smaller, lower budget things, even filling
Making
out
a
the
murderer.
Roster. Making
one of
a
my
Murderer
personal favorites.
Has to be a good one, too. And we've seen them go into films, too. So, Beasts of No Nation. They have a contract with Adam Sandler that guarantees, I think, 4 or 5 Netflix
That's
exclusive
cool.
films that Adam Sandler is starring in, but also producing. So that's definitely notable that they've started getting into motion pictures more as they are full length pictures, at least now that they have this plan to go to 50% of their library is original programming. He also, or Wells in this speech or in this presentation at this conference also said that Netflix is already about 1/3 to halfway there.
Yeah.
So if my math serves me if my math serves me correctly, they're almost at 25% of the library is original content.
I mean, whenever I scroll through looking for things to watch, almost, I mean, there's a ton of Netflix content, Netflix original content just already there. So, I mean, I'm not surprised if they're 25%
of the way there. And they definitely make it clear that I'm kind of picturing scrolling through a Netflix library right now. And the Netflix original tag is certainly up front and on all of their original programming. Also worth noting that how it's done. So Beasts of No Nation, for example, it wasn't like someone approached Netflix with the script and said, hey, we should do this movie. It was an independent film that was privately funded, and then Netflix bought the distribution rights to it after the fact. So there's some programming that is like that, and some programming that they're more they're responsible for from the kind of ground up creative process.
Yeah.
Because
I know Netflix goes in, like Amazon and their Prime offering, they go into, or they are part of the bidding processes of film festivals.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Beasts of No Nation
was a festival film. I would have to look at where it did.
But I know, they also bid on like films from Toronto and Sundance.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a legitimate distribution company now. And it's hard for me with hearing such a large percentage of their library being original programming, hard now not to draw the HBO comparison.
True. Yep.
So Netflix is already bigger than HBO by a significant margin, but I guess that's the same business model in that HBO does, I guess every show on HBO is its own thing, but they do air a lot of movies still
they
that
do.
Are not theirs.
Yeah.
Although, you know, they've definitely ramped up production themselves recently too. So I think that something we always come back to with Netflix is the cost of licensing content from third parties versus the cost of original production. Mm-hmm. I think this is an indication that, you know, Netflix has hit this stride of, okay, we can create our own content for much less money than we can
go out and buy some, and people
also happen to also really like our content.
Yeah.
So,
well, and also I want to point out that Wells noted that, or made sure to note that, not every original production may not be a home run. Like, no new TV show, like not every TV show can be a House of Cards.
Sure.
But I think that it's important that they're, I guess, getting more and more of content like that out.
Well, and they're hitting a pretty good, to use a baseball analogy, they're hitting a pretty good average right now.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it seems like just every few months, it's like, I knew nothing about Stranger Things until the day it was released, and then no one has stopped talking about it.
Yeah.
Since then. So it feels like every few months they hit this home run where this new season of something they just posted is the most amazing thing everybody has ever seen. So,
and bringing it back to HBO, where I feel like HBO is known for their incredible content consistently.
Oh, yeah. Always.
So I feel like Netflix is like, it's bigger than them, but it's also
has a little bit
more to go with like content.
They haven't
wise.
Made The Wire yet. They haven't made The Sopranos yet, you know. Or maybe they have, and it's just,
I'm still waiting for a Netflix Game of Thrones.
Stranger Things season 2. Good point. I can't believe I forgot again. I didn't mention Game of Thrones in that same breath, which is shame on me. But Stranger Things season 2 in production. Moving on.
Yes.
So we are going in, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, we are going to go into this conversation about the evils of corporate America as they go up against Congress this week. But before we get into congressional hearings, we're going to talk about some news from one of America's least popular companies. And I'm going to say that with the, I guess, warning. I don't know, warning's not the right word for it. But I'll say that with a little asterisk next to it. It's not my like subjective opinion that they're the least popular. I'm baking that off of customer satisfaction surveys. I have nothing against the company is Comcast. I'm even saying I have nothing against them specifically. I've had very few horrible, tragic, terrible experiences with them, but it seems like a lot of people have. And
it's always the company that gets brought up when you're like asked, well, what was your worst customer experience?
Yes, yeah, it was on the phone with Comcast.
Yes,
so,
always. Yeah. So Comcast. So at the same investors conference, I believe, the Communicopia.
What
this
the heck?
Is apparently a huge thing.
Where were we?
I know. So the CEO of Comcast, Brian Roberts, he announced that Comcast is going to launch a mobile phone service. So if you were wondering, well, why can't my cell phone provider be Comcast? Now you're in luck.
Right. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Before we get into the other details, I don't think that thought was had by anyone. Zero
Probably
people.
Not. Maybe one or two. You
and
never know.
Definitely not by customers of Comcast, which is ironic because of the details of what he said about the service.
So. Yeah. So the service is set to launch sometime next year, I think by the middle of next year. The large focus will be on Wi-Fi hotspots, and Comcast currently has 14 million Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots in the country.
Which is something I'll give them a thumbs up on, because if you are a Comcast customer, you have access to Xfinity hotspots in a lot of really big metropolitan areas.
Definitely. And even personal routers, if they have like a guest option.
Right. Yeah. If they work.
As an Xfinity
customer, the free Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots tend to be hit or miss, at least here in Chicago. Yeah. I don't know. I can't speak for anywhere else, really.
Yeah. But the network, if it's not operating on Wi-Fi connections, it's going to work through Verizon's wireless network. I use Verizon. It's pretty good in Chicago, at least. I'm not sure about other places in the country. But Mr. Roberts goes on to say that because Comcast has a good and fair relationship to sell on a wholesale basis, they won't have to make the kind of investment needed otherwise, which is cell towers and other cellular infrastructure.
Expensive things.
Very expensive. So they'll be able to save quite a lot of money by partnering with Verizon.
Which I think is good news for investors.
Definitely.
Because they're not going to be hit with this upfront cost that could be a hit or miss type of situation.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't... are my thoughts on this? Because I don't know what as we mentioned, I think they're looking to market this to their existing customers.
Yes, they are.
But I don't know how much of a demand there is for this. And also, like I've said, this is a company that consistently struggles with customer satisfaction. So trying to sell your unsatisfied customers other services seems to be
little questionable,
something that could
maybe.
Be difficult.
Yeah. I mean, this is like very little information that he gave about the
True.
Service. I mean, yeah. So we still don't know any price details, like where, like what phones it'll be available on.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So maybe they'll offer some great introductory deal, or you get a deal if you're already a pre-existing Verizon customer.
That's fair.
Probably something like that.
I will withhold my judgment until
something
more substantial is announced.
Very true.
I didn't get the memo that everyone was going to be announcing things at this Goldman Sachs conference this week, but apparently it happened. And so with that, I'm glad that this is an easy transition, because Comcast talking about customer satisfaction, they're definitely one of those few companies that almost everyone can point to and go, yeah, I've definitely heard things about that company being mm-hmm. this kind of big corporate force in America. There was a whole lot of things going on with this corporate American power this week. And like I said, they faced off. We saw a face off in Congress with the CEO of Wells Fargo on Tuesday, and then we saw it again on Wednesday with the CEO of Mylon, Heather Bresch, who we've talked about on the show many times now with the EpiPen scandal. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Wells Fargo. We'll go in chronological order.
Okay.
Talk about the Wells Fargo one soon. Wells Fargo CEO, his name is John Stumpf. And he was in front of a congressional committee on Tuesday to answer questions about the company's recent fraud scandal. And I should note that this was a committee of U.S. senators, I believe.
Yes.
So, you know, for those of you, I feel like we'll touch briefly on what the scandal was, but I feel like most people have heard about what's going on with Wells Fargo recently. Basically, the company incentivized...
it's low-level employees.
So the people, if you go into a Wells Fargo branch, the people that are helping you,
right.
basically, on a day-to-day basis, the people that you open accounts with, the face that you interact with, basically, incentivizing those employees to get their customers to open more accounts with the company.
Right.
So basically what ended up happening is there was so much pressure put on these bankers that were essentially salespeople to open these other accounts that there was widespread instances of scandal or of fraud that created this scandal where bankers were just opening up accounts for people without telling them. People were noticing, hey, I have 7 accounts with Wells Fargo.
Yeah, I have these weird fees.
What am I paying for? I'm not using this. I don't remember buying this. And it blew up into this really big story about banking fraud. And, yet again, 8 years after the 2008 scandal, the 2008 collapse, we have this another big story of a banking company
just
not
taking advantage
of their
customers.
I would say taking advantage is a good word for it, or a good phrase for it. So basically, Stumpf is in front of a panel of senators answering questions about these account opening practices. I think basically to get an idea of how much top executives knew about it, how high this went up the company. I think it was something like 5,300 employees have been fired as a result of this. And Stumpf said that it was managers and managers of managers. That's a direct quote from Tuesday's hearing. So I think also he was trying to prove the point that it wasn't just these low-level people that they were firing. They were also firing, regional people, branch manager type of people. However, he was very clear in the fact that he did not think that it was a corporate conspiracy, if you will. So, quote, I do want to make it very clear that there is no orchestrated effort or scheme, as some have called it, by the company. So protecting his end of things, certainly.
We're trying to.
And his friends on the board of directors, I'm sure. To say that the senators in the hearing weren't buying it would be an understatement. And I think that's, interestingly enough, bipartisanly not buying it. So
yeah, across the aisle.
Yeah, and I think that's something we'll talk about with the Milan hearing as well. Is it Democrat, Republican, didn't matter
together
on Tuesday.
To literally verbally eviscerate.
It didn't matter
both
this
CEOs.
Week. Yeah, if you have not seen the Elizabeth Warren takedown
you
of
should.
The Wells Fargo CEO, you should check it out. Elizabeth Warren was, I would say, the most vocal critic on mm-hmm. Tuesday, but also everyone was pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
Warren basically questioned his accountability, and by the end of her prepared remarks, pretty
also,
much
she was remarkably prepared.
Yeah, pretty much demanded his resignation and suggested that he and the company be criminally investigated. Interestingly enough, this week also there was kind of another twist to the story where CNN was reporting that employees who called the company setup, the corporate setup whistleblowing hotline where you could report that these things were happening. Those employees who actually reported the instances told CNN that they faced backlash for their decision to report those things, even to the point where some people were getting fired for
reporting.
And
wasn't
no other reason.
Reporting supposed to be was it supposed to be anonymous?
I don't know if it was an anonymous hotline or what, but okay. Fun thing about anonymous reporting is it's never really
<That's>
anonymous.
<true.
laughs> So I'm glad that you said the word prepared about Elizabeth Warren, because she mm-hmm. certainly was prepared to take down John Stumpf. People who were not prepared for their congressional hearing this week was Milan CEO Heather Bresch. Like I said, we've talked about her on the show before. You probably are surprised by how much you know about this seemingly random pharma CEO based off of how much her name has been in the news lately with this whole EpiPen pricing scandal. That one I'll get into less of the details of because we've talked about it on the show before. And if you haven't been living under a rock the past month or so, you've heard about the EpiPen pricing scandal. So she was called into a hearing by the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday as Congress continues its probe into the company's price hikes on the EpiPen epinephrine auto injector. So basically her first line of defense in her prepared remarks was to kind of show, she used graphs, I think she brought poster boards
in. Yeah, I saw that.
Where she was basically trying to say, well, we don't actually make that much money on these standard two packs of EpiPens, which cost $609. I think after rebates and whatnot, she was saying the company makes less than $100 when they sell a pack of EpiPens. She basically refused to admit that the company raised the price of the medication in an attempt to make more money. Was kind of putting the blame on market demands instead of greed from the company. Mm. Or not even greed, but just ambition from the company to make more money. Again, people weren't buying it. And they across the aisle, as you said, people were not buying it. Pulled a couple of quotes I wanted to share. Representative John Duncan, a Republican from Tennessee, said, quote, "I am a very conservative and pro-business Republican, but I am sickened by what I've heard," end quote. That one.
Harsh.
That one was harsh.
Yeah.
Tammy Duckworth, a Democrat from Illinois, our home state of Illinois, questioned Bresch about the company's EpiPens for School program, which was interesting because that is the program that's being investigated in an antitrust probe in New York right now.
Yeah.
The state's,
by the Attorney General?
Attorney General of the state. So that seems like there is something going on there. Tammy Duckworth called the EpiPens for Schools program, which basically mandated that schools who are buying EpiPens from from Mylon signed non-compete agreements that they wouldn't shop around or try to purchase it from anywhere else, even though there are so limited options anyway. But she called it, quote, an unfair monopoly. And then later, Jason Chavitz, Chavitz, a Republican from Utah, after part of Bresch's line of reasoning where she was saying that we're not really making that much money, he said, quote, that doesn't make any sense, end quote. And then, quote again, this is why we don't believe you, end quote. Oh, yeah, and then Elijah Cummings of Maryland, a Democratic representative from Maryland, been around for 2 decades. He's been on Congress now, so certainly a representative with with experience and experience in the pharmaceuticals problems that we've been having recently with the price hikes, because he was around earlier this year. He was at the hearing where Martin Shkreli, our favorite pharma executive,
our fave pharma bro,
was questioned for the price hikes that he and his company at the time, Turing Pharmaceuticals, they were the subject of a probe very similar to this one. He likened this Mylon situation to the Turing Pharmaceuticals situation, and he said, quote, after the hearing, this was in reference to the Turing hearing and Martin Shkreli. He said, quote, after the hearing, you know what he called us? Imbeciles. You know why he said that? Because he knew he would go back and do the same thing. So he took his punches. He rope-a-doped us. End quote. I just really wanted to say that because rope-a-doped I've not said on the podcast yet. But yeah, that was how that went for Mylon and Heather Bresch. And then there was also a comment about the EpiPens for School program and how the president of the National Association of State Boards of Education, who during her time in that role pushed state lawmakers to make state regulations that forced public schools to keep EpiPens on hand at all times and purchase them from Mylon, be a part of this EpiPens for School program, if you will. The president of that association was Heather Bresch's mother. So there was a line of questioning about that as well. And conflict of interest, I believe, is the phrase for that in the industry. There's that. And I think that both of these examples are examples of corporate greed gone wrong. I think that's in the middle enough to say. It's what examples of what can happen when businesses go unchecked for a long time.
Yeah, because
certainly in the Wells Fargo situation,
because that was
that's like legitimate fraud.
Yeah, it had been going on for years.
Yeah, and I remember we spoke off air earlier today about the Mylon situation, and I think that their defense would, in most cases, would be there's not really anything saying that they can't raise prices like they have. And I think the push now is, in hindsight, to put regulations on the books about price hikes. But to me, and I think what a lot of critics would point to Wells Fargo and point to Mylon is that it seems deceptive. They don't seem truthful. In the case of Mylon's hearing, and this is what brings me back to the unprepared statement that I made earlier, Heather Bresch just didn't bring a lot of the data on their revenue, their 2015 revenue and their patient assistant programs. She couldn't answer the question, how much did you guys spend on patient assistant in 2015, even though she was asked to bring that information to the hearing. I don't know how that happens per se. I don't know how you're
It just seems like
it seems untruthful, though. It seems purposely deceptive.
Yeah, and it just seems like the both CEO John Strumpf and CEO Heather Bresch, I feel like they came to these committees and these committees and these hearings not thinking it was as big of a deal.
I definitely don't think either of them thought that they were going to face the level of contention that they met from both.
So, I mean, maybe that's like a reason why she just like didn't bring that information, but that was, I mean, that was just stupid on her part.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't feel like they really anticipated the backlash
mm-hmm.
that their companies received, even though most like these, both of these hearings were after a lot of the media coverage of the scandals.
Yeah. And I think that both of these scandals, though, also highlight a growing sense of distrust that this country has for big businesses.
Mm. Yeah.
And not just big businesses in general, but corporations like this, publicly traded corporations, even more so, that have this, or at least feel like they have this responsibility to their shareholders, to be posting profits and growing all the time. That type of pressure results in situations like this, where there's these insane price hikes on drugs. There's these scandals where it's kind of up in the air as to who made the call on just committing fraud, basically.
Yeah. But there are also two companies that have such a huge influence on our daily lives, where Wells Fargo, if you are a consumer, I have all of my life's worth like in your banks, in your accounts. And
definitely.
Then Mylan, if I have an allergic reaction to something, I need this certain drug to live, to survive.
Yeah.
So it's like there are two companies that have such a direct influence on their customers' lives in general.
And I think that's what upsets people so much, that was the anger coming out of the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, is that, these banks, we're talking about mortgages, we're talking about people's homes, which is their livelihoods.
Yeah.
Giving out loans and then, knowing that the bubble was about to burst and continuing to market subprime mortgages, bundling and selling those mortgages, and then almost at times betting for them to fail, that really upsets people. But I guess my question here, and it gets down to a kind of a fundamental perception of human behavior even, is are these people these corporate devils that we're making them out to be, or is this just the result of a broken system, a system where
of being unchecked.
We don't have enough checks and balances in the system. There's not enough regulation in pharmaceuticals. There's not enough regulation in banking, where these companies can basically fall back on, well, no one really said we couldn't.
Yeah, basically.
And, even though that's not the argument that they're presenting, that's kind of really the only thing that
it's what's shining through at this moment.
It's what comes out of it for sure. And so I think that's the question is how much blame do we put on the companies? How much blame do we put on ourselves as investors and shareholders for the expectations that we have of publicly traded companies? How much blame do we put on our local and state governments for failing to regulate businesses? How much blame do we put on the federal government for failing to regulate businesses? There's a lot of blame to go around. And I think the argument is really who is assigned the blame right now and what do we do about it? What do we do to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Well, hopefully some regulations will be passed, but that takes time and
When you have someone who's literally saying, I'm a very conservative and pro-business Republican, but I'm sickened to see what I've heard, that's agreement across the aisle. That's everyone is pissed
off. That is a step forward,
everyone is upset. So
hopefully we'll see some change, but, fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's partially a product of the system that we live in and partially product of what seems like just pretty awful corporate greed at times. So... that's really, I guess, all I have to say about that.
So on that cynical note.
Yeah, on that just lovely high note. We try to end on high notes.
But this week, hasn't been
Yeah. It's
not, I mean, at least Netflix is getting more original
Netflix,
content.
More original Netflix shows. Yay.
You can binge watch more.
Elf Beauty IPO.
Woo.
Yay.
Cheap makeup.
Yeah. Rest on those laurels. Brad and Angelina broke up and everyone's sad. So, yes, if you want our full coverage of all of these stories, they are going to be available in the links in the articles. Remember to like, share, follow, do everything that you do. Thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you next week.